So this is where it all happened, Grandfather.
Yes, right here on the edge of this cliff.
This is where the legend began?
Right here.
Tell me the story again, Grandpa.
Okay. Well, it was like this. He was standing here, just as we are, and he was enjoying the view, and then he slipped.
Whoa, 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 whoa!
Legends of the Fall will not be presented at this time, so we may bring you this peculiar podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt our program of dance music to bring you a special bulletin from the Intercontinental Radio News.
It's time for Peculiar Podcast, hosted by Pat Cashman.
Gorgeous to look at.
And Lisa Foster.
She's dangerous.
Steve, you're on.
Ready or not, it's Pat and Lisa.
Can you dig it?
Yeah, I can dig it. Yeah.
It's love and time.
Hi, Lisa. Are you groovy, hip? Can you dig it? What's the skinny? What's the down low? See ya. It's a gas, far out bummer, bag, bread, cool, drag, flip side, boob tube, baby, mellow, out of sight, split, hang loose, bad, foxy, blitz, to blast, freak out, chrome dome, crash pad, far out, happening boss, scratch lame. How you doing, Lisa?
What?
I just wanted to use a whole bunch of words that are out of style and will never be heard again, except
like
on this
them.
Podcast. Thank you.
I love them. I want Thank you to go much. Through them slowly, though, because some of them I'm not familiar with.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I picked up a couple, but you flew through them. Thank you. Go through it, and I'll stop you when I need more information, as I normally do.
Okay. Let me do it this time in my disc jockey voice.
Oh, God. I love your disc.
Hey, groovy.
Hey, Pat.
Can you dig it? What's the skinny? What's the down low? Hey, it's a gas. Far out, bummer, bag, bread, cool, drag.
Okay, wait, hold on. What's the bag, bread, cool? What is that? Bag, bread, cool.
Well, bag, you know what? Hey, what's your bag? Remember this song?
Papa's got a brand new bag.
I thought my mom, by the way, was the uncoolest person ever. When I'm in high school, and then
everybody thinks their mom is the uncoolest person ever.
Well, I know, but then
school.
I know, but then once she's
Papa's got a brand new bag.
Surprised me, and she said, "Pat, I love this song." It's James Brown. Papa's got a brand new bag.
I said,
You like that song, Mom?
Yes, the brand new bag, because I got, I'm thinking, man, Mom is really hip here.
And then she said, yeah, I got a brand new bag at Safeway yesterday.
Yeah. Mama's got a brand new bag from Safeway. Yeah. That should be a song.
Yeah.
He's got a brand new bag.
So I just remember that. Here's some other ones now. Bread. Hey,
yeah,
man, you got any
that.
Bread? Cool.
Yeah.
Drag. Flip. I'll see you on the flip side.
Yeah.
Boob tube, which we used to call TV. Mellow. Hey, man, I'm kind of mellow.
Don't harsh my mellow, man.
Good. Out of sight.
Yeah.
Split.
I got a split.
I got to leave. Hang loose. Bad. Which, of course, means good. Foxy, blitzed. Oh, man, I can't go. I'm blitzed. Man. That
dude,
party.
What's the matter? Dude, what's wrong with you, man? Are you blitzed? Yeah, that's
That party
one.
Was a blast, man. But I kind of freaked out, too. Hey, look how bald that guy is. He's got a chrome dome, man.
A chrome dome, yeah.
Crash.
Which, by the way, can we stop right there?
Sure. Stop. Please stop. Yeah.
I happen to think chrome domes are quite sexy.
Oh.
Just to be clear.
Oh.
I know that there are a lot of men that go to a lot of trouble to get their hair implanted and spray painted on top. Didn't Rudy Giuliani used to spray paint his head?
Oh, not and, him. No, not him. He's above board.
And I'm like, why go to all that trouble? Just, I think a bald man is sexy. I think no hair is good. Anyway, that's all I wanted to say. Sorry, I just went off into a little area by myself on that. So you may now continue because clearly you have nothing to say about that.
Well, I have two brothers of my four that shaved their heads.
On purpose?
Yeah, yeah.
Why? And so
these are guys that are bald. Were balding.
Oh.
And decided, yes, I can either fake my way through it by a toupee or get hair transplants, or I can just embrace it and go, yes, all the way. And that's what they
embrace
did.
Embrace it. Yeah. There's something sexy about that. Embrace,
well, I wish I'd know that. But however, it would not work for me because.
I know what you're going to say.
What?
Can I say it?
Yeah.
Because you have a weird shaped head.
Yes, I do. I have a lumpy head. My head is lumpy. I got little bumps, and I think there's a area of science called phrenology, and it has to do with the shape of your skull and all of that, and your brain. And mine, I've just got some bad-looking bumps and lumps. And
maybe that's because your brain is so big, it's just trying to, like, get out of your head.
That's what I'm thinking. I also have a small horn developing on my forehead. So I do a comb over on that.
Oh, wow. I've never noticed that before, but I haven't seen you in a while. So
it's a nice place to hang your hat if you ever come to visit. Well, anyway, enough of that. How are you doing?
Yeah.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I know I haven't talked to you in a while. I was sick for almost 10, 12 days. I had laryngitis.
What?
Yeah, I had.
You didn't
tell
me that.
I know. I almost took my. I couldn't. I was dying. I couldn't tell anybody.
Can't you text? Can't you email?
Oh, what am I going to do? Pat, I'm dying.
Smoke signals? Something.
And
you're
like 1,500 miles away. What are you going to do about it?
So you're dead, and I launch into this podcast, and I go, hey, everybody. Hey, Lisa, how you doing? Lisa? Lisa? Oh, didn't you hear, man? She's dead. Oh, shit.
Well, I wish she would have texted me.
Yeah, come on. Give me a heads up. I got other things going on.
So I'm better now. My voice is still a little, every once in a while I get a little Mr. Haney going on. Can you do Mr. Haney so people know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, people who are not as old as us, remember Mr. Haney was a character played by Pat Buttram, an old actor from the West. I think he was Gene Autry's sidekick.
I didn't know that. I knew he was on Green Acres.
Mr. Haney.
Hello, Mr. Haney. What are you doing here?
Oh, I just stopped by to have my appendixes out.
Why, do they bother you?
No, but I figure what's the sense in having Medicare if you don't take advantage of it?
Say, who's Gene Autry? I'm not going into that. But he had a voice that cracked every once in a while. He'd be like this. Hey, Mr. Douglas, I got about $50 here. I'd like to buy that lamp.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I have sounded like.
Oh,
and
man.
I'm on the very end of it. So you'll hear a little Mr. Haney once in a while. But I think I'm not
hearing it now. You sound good. I'll tell you who doesn't sound so good anymore. And let's go through this quickly.
All right.
And I've been kind of bummed out because I remember this guy very well. Wink Martindale. The longtime game show host.
Yeah.
He's gone at the age of 91. Tic-Tac-Doe.
Man, talk about hair. Yeah, the Tic-Tac-Doe game show.
Yeah, he had some hair on him.
Man, he had some hair. Do you think that was all real?
Hey, by the way, people have been pestering me, my kids especially. Dad, before you croak, which could come at any moment, would you write a book? And I said, yeah, I don't know what to write about. And and I'm struggling with it. I am going to try. But I don't have the book figured out, but I have the title figured
out. Okay. What is it?
Here's the title. This is courtesy of my wife. She came up with the title. There's a hair in there. Isn't that a great title?
It's a really good title.
There's a hair in there. All right, look for it on the bestseller list.
Are you going to talk about me? Are you going to talk about me in there?
Oh, yeah.
Is there like a whole chapter dedicated to
chapter this? Chapter 1, 2, 3, 8, 7, and 17 and the epilogue are all about you.
And the foreword. Okay.
Yes. And the
good.
I call it the two foreword. Yes.
There's a hair in there.
There's a hair in there.
New York Times bestseller.
Look for it. Back to Wink Martindale. He also did a game show called Gambit. He was a big deal in the 1970s and 80s.
Yep.
He was ubiquitous. You saw him everywhere. He did, they say, more than 20 shows as either a host or a producer. As I've been reading his obituaries, I never read about a show that I remember him from. Maybe because it only lasted about 8 or 9 months. But it was called Can You Top This?
Mm.
And it was kind of a game show. But what would happen is viewers would send in their favorite jokes. And then they would have a professional comedian. And they would do the joke on the air. And then they would decide which was the funniest joke based on an applause meter.
Hey, Paula. Yeah, I hear you had a date with Raquel Welch.
Yes, I did, Jack.
How was it, huh?
Oh, it was great. It was fine. We, went out to dinner. Then we went to the movies.
Yeah. Then what happened?
Nothing. I took her home. And I didn't even kiss her goodnight. And they called me the dummy.
I never heard it. Never heard of this.
Well, you never will.
In the '70s.
Didn't work. But Wink Martindale was also a vocalist. He wasn't really a singer, but he would do spoken word songs. He did several of them. And this one became sort of a hit called Deck of Cards 1959.
During the North African campaign, a bunch of soldier boys had been on a long hike, and they arrived in a little town called Casino.
I will play more of this at the end of our podcast.
Several of the boys went to
Rick Wink Martindale. And then a guy named Rick Levine, or Levine, passed away, 94 years old, award-winning director of TV commercials. And I used to make a lot of TV commercials, so I guess
you did.
Those kind of people are my heroes, even though to the average citizen, they think, what a bunch of jerks. Jeez, I hate commercials. Get them off the air.
Yeah.
But this guy made TV spots look like Hollywood productions. He put a lot of effort into making them look big time. And maybe his most famous commercial, I don't know if you remember this, it was a Super Bowl ad from the 1980s. Michael J. Fox was the star of it, and it was for Diet Pepsi. He's a guy in an apartment, kind of a loser, and this beautiful woman shows up.
Hi, I'm just moved in next door, and I was wondering, could I borrow a Diet Pepsi?
Diet Pepsi? Sure. Come in. Don't move.
Finally goes out into the rain and driving horrible conditions to get a Diet Pepsi. By the time he gets back to his apartment, breathless and exhausted with the Diet Pepsi, another terrific looking woman is standing there as well.
Hi, I'm Danielle. You got another Diet Pepsi?
Sure.
So back out the window he goes.
Diet Pepsi, the choice of a new generation.
At any rate, that was the commercial. But Rick Levine did a whole bunch of very memorable commercials. He's gone. And then a woman named Suzanne Rand passed away, age of 75. And she was in a duo with a guy named John Monteith. They were called Monteith and Rand. And they were compared to Nichols and May and people like that.
I see where they've called this little girl to the stand in the quiz scandal.
Oh, yeah. Terrible
thing.
Oh, sick.
Yeah.
I am just sick.
I haven't been able to think about anything else.
No. I want to tell you something. This is the truth. If there was a war tomorrow, I couldn't think about it.
No.
As a very funny man and woman combo. And they were on The Tonight Show a couple of times. They later had their own Broadway show. But I never heard of them before. They're kind of funny. And Suzanne Rand, half of Monteith and Rand, has passed away. Here's a little bit of them. Here Suzanne Rand plays Betsy Ross.
Yeah, Betsy.
Yeah.
You got that flag there.
Well, I'm almost finished with it.
Almost finished? This is our fifth war.
Look. When I first started, all you wanted were 13 stars. Then you go and you go for 40. Now it's 48. What, at the end of the war, I'm going to have to go, so maybe a couple more of them on?
No, I guarantee 48 is top.
Oh, sure. I've heard that before. Look at these fingers.
Oh, yeah, full of holes.
Yeah, but, and look. I have never stood up for them to shoot through them either. This is Needles guy, Needles.
Yeah, but look, I mean, we've been waiting for this flag an awful long time, Betsy.
Listen, I'll do it. Do you know how tired I am of hearing all the platoons going, oh, there goes the old so-and-so? I mean, come on.
And then, Lisa...
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Yeah, well, there's a whole bunch. Michael Hurley passed away, 83 years old. Maybe this caught my eye because he died in nearby Portland, Oregon. But he was a singer and a songwriter, but an unconventional kind of troubadour. Again, I'd never heard of him before. But he had something called the Werewolf Song that was sort of sympathetic to the plight of being a werewolf.
Oh, the werewolf, oh, the werewolf comes stepping along.
And Michael Hurley was also a childhood friend of a guy we talked about last week, Jesse Colin Young. Michael Hurley. And then, I'm getting there, Clem Burke, drummer for Blondie. Powerful drummer. You hear him on this song, Call Me. And the tide is high. Old, Clem Burke.
Tide is high, but I'm holding on.
And then this one really hit me. It probably didn't hit you as hard because you're not as old as me, but Jay North played the part of Dennis the Menace on TV.
Yeah,
1959 to 63, he died at 73 years old.
Yeah, I saw that. I texted that to you. I didn't like him. He annoyed me. I hated that show. I hated Mr. What was his name? Mr.
Wilson.
Mr. Wilson.
Hello? Mr. Wilson? This is Dennis.
I hated the show. I hated that little boy. I hated Dennis the Menace. I even hated the Dennis the Menace cartoon that was by Hank Ketchum.
Yeah. Well, I like the cartoon. That's why I, like you, was disappointed in the show because he didn't look. The little kid in the cartoon's little and he's kind of mischievous looking. This kid's too big and gawky and didn't look like.
Hello, Mr. Wilson. Hello, Mr. Wilson. Do you want to come out and play? Me and you could have a lot of fun.
It was always so patient and kind with little Dennis the Dick and Mr. I was on Mr. Wilson's
Dennis
the Dick.
The Dick. Okay.
He was. He was a little dick.
The guy, Hank Ketchum, is at the syndicator's office. And he said, here's my idea for a cartoon. I call him Dennis the Dick because he's a mean little kid that's always getting in trouble.
We have a problem with the name of your strip. How about something that rhymes?
Nick the Dick?
Dennis the Jerk.
Well, Kirk the Jerk, because it's got to rhyme.
Hello, Mr. Wilson.
Yeah, if people don't remember, it's ancient history for so many.
Oh, God, such a stupid show.
But he's just a trouble. He's not a bad kid, but he just doesn't know how to stay out of trouble. And he is a thorn in the side to the next door neighbor. The elderly Mr. Wilson and his wife.
And it's supposed to be funny, ha ha, not horrifying.
Yeah.
Because if I had a little dick like that living next to me, I'm not even kidding you. It would be there would be some problems probably with the authorities. I would take matters into my own hands.
Yeah. Well, the show started with Dennis maybe hitting a baseball into Mr. Wilson's window by accident. But by the last season, you know how these shows get desperate at the last season.
Right.
Do you remember the show where he burns Mr. Wilson's house down?
Yeah, and he killed the dog. And then he kills the dog and ate it. Yes, yeah, I remember that one.
And then buries Mrs. Wilson in the rose garden in the back of their house. Yeah, that to me went a little too far.
That was jumping the shark right there.
Finally, Lisa. Yeah, a man named George Bell, who was the tallest man in America.
Really?
Yeah, he died at 67 recently. He was 7'8".
What?
I can relate to him because I am 6'11". And man, it is no... Everybody thinks, oh, I want to be tall. I want to be tall. No, you don't. People gawk at you. People have gawked at me my whole life. Hey, Cashman, what's the weather up there? Stuff like that. Drives me crazy. You can imagine what it was like for George Bell.
Average, let me think about this. Seven what?
Seven, you're, eight.
7 foot eight. I know you're 6 foot 11. You're 1 inch short of 7 feet.
I used to be 6 foot 11. You know, as you get older, you shrink.
Yeah.
Now I'm about 5'11". But
so 7'8". How tall is a door? Because I know a ceiling is 8 feet tall, unless you have cathedral ceilings. So I'm just trying to figure out a door is about, he has to like,
he would have to almost duck down into a garage door parking motorhomes and stuff. I mean, he's that tall.
Tall guys, but there's something about tall guys, tall guys.
Wow.
He ducked and his whole life.
How old was he?
Well,
when
he lived pretty old when you consider his gigantism. But yeah. He was 67. And here's the thing, and you see this every time somebody really large, or tall or big passes away. What do they always describe them as?
Oh, no.
A gentle giant. You never see someone described as, George Bell, tallest man in America, 7'8", a murderous, wildly psychotic, deranged, crazed, belligerent, warmongering badass.
He was a giant dick.
See Dennis the Menace.
Those who worked with him will remember George Bell for his kind, fun-loving personality.
Maybe he was a gentle giant. I don't know.
You know, but they always call him a gentle giant. They never say, can't you be just a gentle midget? You never hear that.
First of all, you're not supposed to say that word, Pat.
Gentle? Oh, did it sound like I said genital?
Stand tall, don't you fall. God's sake, don't go and do something foolish. All your
I don't think I could date somebody that tall.
Okay. Anyway, that's it. There's my list of the croak.
Speaking of dying, I have a commercial I came across. I was driving around, minding my own business, as I usually am.
Rarely do.
Mm-hmm. And this commercial came on the radio here in Seattle. Let me see if I can find it. And I'm not going to play the whole thing. I want to play the very first part of it.
Okay.
And just see if you can guess where it's going.
All right.
I don't even know if I should tell you what this is for. I'm not even going to tell you what the product is. Because obviously, when I heard the commercial, I didn't know what the product was for. A lot of times, they don't give you the product name. You know this. Till they're like halfway through the commercial or sometimes even in the tagline.
Yeah.
So this is how the commercial starts. So listen to this.
I had the worst dream last night. You were in a car crash and the kids and I were on our own.
Okay. I had the worst dream last night. You were in a car crash and the kids and I were on our own. That's a woman talking to her husband.
Is it for life insurance?
Yeah. Yeah. So what do you think would normally come after?
I had the worst dream last night. You were in a car crash and the kids and I were on our own.
Yeah.
What do you think would come after that normally?
I was so worried. I was so upset.
I was upset. It freaked me out. My heart was pounding. I thought you were really gone.
Yeah. That makes sense. That's where it's going.
That's not where she goes. Let me play it again for you.
I had the worst dream last night. You were in a car crash and the kids and I were on our own. We couldn't afford the house anymore.
That's awful, hon.
My brother was telling me he got life insurance from Ethos.
But isn't getting life insurance a huge pain?
So yeah, basically she had a dream that her husband got in a fiery car crash.
Yeah.
And her only worry was that she wasn't going to be able to pay for that.
Not like, yeah, I'm going to miss you. Gee, I loved you so much.
No, it was a horrible dream. I woke up upset and crying. No, she very matter-of-factly says, I just, you know, the kids and I were on our own, and I was worried about how I was going to pay for the house. And then I told my brother, you know, I had this dream about you that you croaked and how worried I was that I wasn't going to be able to afford anything. And he told me about Ethos Life Insurance.
With Ethos, Dave said it only took 10 minutes, and he got $2 million in coverage for around $2 a day. Plus, it's all online.
Well, it's too late to tell her about Ethos Life Insurance by then.
Right. Well, but she's so concerned about not being able to pay for the house. Anyway, she's
Well, you know what? I'm going to give her a pass.
Yeah. Oh, come on.
Well, she's pragmatic. I mean, there's nothing she can do to bring the husband back. That's history. So now, where do I go? What's the rest of my life? I've told you this story before, Lisa. This is this is reality for humans, and at least for some of us. I've told you this story before. I'll try to shorten it up. But I went on a business trip with another guy, and we did our business during the day, and then at nighttime we were in a hotel in another city, Denver. He got really, really drunk, and I actually walked him to his hotel room and just kind of pushed him in the hotel door to say, see you in the morning. We got a 10 o'clock flight.
Okay.
And so then I wake up the next morning. It's about 7:30, 8 o'clock, and I start calling his room. I say, hey, come on. We got to get going. We got a flight coming up, and I get no answer. The phone isn't picked up. I'd call him again and again and again. I call the front desk. Could you see if you can rouse my friend? They don't have any luck. Now it's getting to the time where we better leave or we're going to miss our flight. I get very worried. It's a Sunday. They call up a guy that's the janitor, and he's got the key to the room. But he's not available. And so they finally call up the fire department. Fire department comes running in there. Guy's got a big axe. He's going to chop the door down.
What?
To the guy's room. Yeah, because we can't rouse him. And so, but then at the last moment, as the guy's just about to chop the door down, a guy runs up. Hey, I got a key. I got a key. I got a key. So we open the door. And it's one of those rooms in a hotel where you've got an ante room. You've got a room where there's a television set. And then the bedroom is then in another door beyond that.
Got it. That's called a suite.
A suite. S-W-E-E-T. Got it. Mm-hmm. So, yep. So they said, they open the door and they say, you want to go in? I don't want to go in. I'm picturing this dead guy in there.
Wait, they asked you if you wanted to go in?
Well, I'm the one who was, asking them to break the door down and get in the room. They thought, you're
that
his
seems
friend.
Like a... Yeah.
Well, anyway, they still... finally, somebody on the hotel staff takes the lead. They go into the room. We open the bedroom, and there is this guy's form in bed, still unmoving. I walk up to him, and I go, his name was Skip. Skip? Skip! And I start shaking him, and all of a sudden he snaps up, and he goes, what the f*** do you want?
Story I've ever heard. I know you've told it before, but I couldn't remember if the guy was dead or not.
Yeah, he wasn't even dead then, because my point is, all the while I'm thinking that he is dead, and how am I going to get his body back to Seattle? I don't even know how to proceed. I don't know what to do. I'm worried about me, not him. And he's my friend, for God's sake. I think that's how humans think. They think about themselves first. What am I going to do now that this guy is gone? Well, anyway, he was fine, and he had a bad ear that he was almost deaf in, and so he was sleeping on his good ear, and he couldn't hear anything.
Oh, my God.
That's the end of the story. That woman in the commercial, she's being practical.
Yeah.
Okay, let's say he did die. Now what? Now what do I do with my life, my kids?
It's just that she started the conversation off in such a caring manner, and it had nothing to do with him at all. It was all about her. I just found it to be very, I don't know.
No, I kind of get it, but I felt I needed to defend her a little bit.
Anyway, it just annoyed me, so there you go.
That's life. That's life. That's what all the people say. You're riding high in April, shot down in May, but I know I'm gonna change that tune
when I'm back on top in June.
I will say that commercials on radio and TV still sort of work if anybody hears them. They could also work online. I'll tell you what doesn't work, though, in my opinion.
What?
Billboards.
Why?
I think billboards are wasted money. And
no.
Mainly because people put too much crap on the billboard. You've been driving along and you can see a huge headline, then you try to figure out who it's for, and the letters are too small, and you find yourself staring at it when you should be looking at the road. I just think billboards are ineffective and dangerous. In the state of Vermont, for example, they've outlawed billboards years ago.
That's right. Because
they distract people.
Well, I think, like you said, the tech billboards that have flashing lights and scrolling images and all that, I think no. But I think the old time static billboards that don't jump around and move.
Yeah,
I think those are perfectly fine.
Well, I think in the old days when our parents grew up.
In the old days.
The old days. People, for one thing, they didn't drive as fast because they couldn't. There weren't freeways. There were highways, but not freeways. Maybe you could read them better.
There is a girl wearing nothing but a smile and a towel in the picture on the billboard in the field near the big old highway. Rolling down the highway in my Jimmy Holland parade from Chicago to St. Louis. Lord, I see her every day.
Here's my, if you're going to put it outside advertising, I go with bus card. Not every city has bus cards.
Shattered by the girl wearing nothing but a smile and a towel in the picture on the billboard in the field near the big old highway.
And I can remember we were advertising our show, our radio show years ago. And they put a billboard out there that said, you know, Cashman in the morning or something. And I'm laying out. Like I'm reclined, so my entire figure is on the side of the bus card, and these buses are driving around. They were kind of everywhere, all over town.
Figure.
Yes, my figure. And so I remember this so well. I got on the radio and I said,
"It's not." Hey, can I stop you for a second? It's not your figure. Yeah. It's your physique. Figure is a definite female term. And a physique is a guy is very much a male. But I'll go with what you said. That okay, your figure.
Lisa, you've seen me. I don't have a physique. Okay? I'm still sticking with figure.
Okay. So your figure's on a bus.
Yeah. And so I got on the radio, I remember, when the bus cards first came out. And I said something like this. Ladies and gentlemen, by the way, you'll soon be noticing bus cards advertising our morning show, driving around town with my figure, my physique, my barely alive body,
my manness,
supine on the side of the bus. What I urge you to do, and again, this is just a plea from me, I beg you, whoever you are, do not deface these bus cards. Please do not, for example, try and draw genitalia on my head when you see these bus cards. Please do not write mean things like "this show sucks" on the side of the bus. I beg you, please, as a citizen, please do not break the law and deface these bus cards. I went on and on about it.
Whole list of things not to draw on
and
you.
Sure enough, within days I started seeing these bus cards utterly defaced, sometimes in ways I can't even describe how gross it was. And I just loved it. I thought they're going to even get more attention this way.
Oh my God, that's funny.
Every day I get in the queue. Get on the bus, takes me to you.
Hey, can I ask you another question?
That was one right there. Do you want to ask a second?
So we, on our previous episode of Peculiar Podcast, Pat and Lisa talked about an old cereal called Twinkles. You'd asked me if I had ever heard of the Twinkles. I don't even know why you brought it up. Do you even remember why you brought it up? What was that all about?
I don't remember. I'd have to listen to the podcast, and I don't listen to our podcast either. No, it's horrible enough just doing it. But I do remember this. They had a Twinkles cartoon. Twinkles is an elephant, animated elephant. And he had a long trunk, and he would sort of investigate things. And there was a voiceover announcer that said,
"Nose, nose, anything goes. Knock down the door with hammer blows."
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing that you even remember that.
It came to me because, and as you just heard, I found it on YouTube. To my delight, I don't know how you remember to do this. You mentioned casually on the podcast, I'm going to look that up and I'll send you a box of Twinkles. It's long been gone from the traditional grocery shelves. But
yeah, because it was a cereal in the 60s. Like,
yeah. It actually,
I know why we talked about it. You were talking about cereal that had prizes inside and comic books and all sorts of things, how entertaining they were back then. They're not entertaining anymore.
Anyway, you found it. It's a repro of the original Twinkles, a star-shaped cereal, and there's Twinkles the elephant on the cover. Goodness in sweetened toasted corn. So right there, it tells you it's just packed with sugar.
Twinkles only laughed, and so did Herman Hyena.
I found it. So Walmart is there. It's back for a limited time, which means I paid $1,492 for it.
Well, I bet you did.
So I ordered it because it was limited time only. And so I got it and I sent it to you.
Thank you.
And you said to me that you weren't going to eat it. Why aren't you going
to
eat it?
Well, I'm trying to watch my figure. I mean, my physique.
I know.
But I am going to save the box. And on the back of the box, they have a game, a little game. So something you can play while you eat your cereal. That's another great throwback to that time. All you needed was the box of cereal. You could eat, entertain yourself at the same time. Thank you for that, Lee.
You're very welcome, Pat.
Yeah, it's 99% sugar.
Do you know how much sodium? I just looked up the nutritional thing because I don't think it's on that box. They didn't put nutritional labels back then on stuff. You had zero idea what you were shoveling into your pie hole.
Right.
This has 11 grams of sugar per serving. 11 grams. There are 4 grams of sugar in a teaspoon, just to give you an idea.
Is that good? Sugar.
It tastes good. Oh,
honey, honey. Look at the ingredients here. Whole grain corn, cornmeal, sugar, corn syrup, canola or sunflower oil. Those are the first ingredients. All of them sugary.
Yes. Sugar, sugar. Yeah, 160 milligrams of sodium. You probably shouldn't eat that. That's a box of death right there. That would kill you. So don't eat it, Pat. Okay. I don't want you to croak from Twinkles.
I'm just going to treasure it, and thank you for that. And in that regard, we got many people to thank for giving us, offering money to this show.
Hold on,
I particularly want to mention a guy named Ty Galvin.
Ty Galvin.
What Ty
Galvin. Around the
old tree. He's generous. I'm assuming it's a man. Ty. T-Y.
Yeah.
Ty, come on, man. You're too generous.
Stop, Pat. What are you saying? Shut up.
He's a game changer for this podcast.
That's what I'm saying. Don't say he's too generous. This is what I want you to say. I'm going to, Ty, is that the best you can do? Come on, man.
Yeah. Well.
No. Seriously, Ty, you are.
You're the man.
We're going to actually rename the podcast after you.
Yeah. The Ty Hour. Yeah.
Yes.
Ty Food for Your Brain, we'll call it.
Ty Me Kangaroo Down Sport.
Thank you. Yeah,
Ty. I think all the music should be dedicated to Ty.
Okay, fair enough.
Forever.
From now on.
But also,
even if we don't say it, it's dedicated to Ty.
We had Melody. Thank you, Melody, for our coffee money. Lots of coffee there. Justin, appreciate you. And James Dean. I thought he was dead.
I know. James Dean. Yeah.
I know.
Wow. Good, great actor and great philanthropist too.
James Dean, I know just what you mean.
And buying us new cars, because that's...
Yeah. I got to take mine back. It's a Tesla.
Hey, let me tell you, I did something the other day that I didn't think I was capable of. Every once in a while, we as humans do this, and we surprise ourselves by going beyond what we thought we were capable of. My wife and I, this has probably happened about 2 weeks ago. And while you may have no snow where you are right now, we still have remnants of snow around this area down central Oregon where I'm talking to you from. Some friends of mine wanted to meet at a restaurant, which was on the other side of the area. And my wife and I knew about this little-known Forest Service road that we thought, if we go down this Forest Service road, we will get to this location of the restaurant three times sooner than we would if we just went on a conventional highway.
So we
go up and we get on this dirt road. It's not great, but we're traveling down it, and then we start encountering some snow along the way, but we're still moving along okay. My car is not great in the snow, but we're doing okay. Once in a while, I slide off the road a little bit, but I back up and rock back and forth, and I get back on the rutted wheel marks on this road. Mm-hmm. We drive down, we're 8 miles down this road, Lisa, and then all of a sudden we see a car coming at us from the other direction, and the people in the car are waving at us. So we stop, I stop, they stop, I get out of my car, and some people say, "You got to turn around. It's all blocked off down here. You can't get through." I think, oh, great. Not only could we not get through, but you can't back up because there's big mounds of snow. There's basically one little pathway from which you could drive your car through. So I can't turn my car around and go back the way we came.
Uh-huh.
So I decide the only way we're going to get out of here is I got to drive backwards for 8 miles.
Okay. Can you... Wait, what? How come those people were able to turn around?
I don't know. Well, they got further down the road than we did. And I don't know. I didn't stop and ask them how they got there. And we can't get around them. They can't get around us. So it's incumbent on me to run this car backwards for 8 miles. And I did it.
Oh, my God.
It took, I don't know, half an hour, 40 minutes driving backwards. We keep sliding off the road. I get back.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's incredible. And we would average about 5 miles an hour. I never thought that's possible to drive backwards. My neck is killing me, Lisa.
I bet.
We did have one of those little video screens that shows you as a rear view.
Yeah, mirror. I was going to say, don't you have a backup camera you could have just locked in on?
It was helpful, but it didn't solve the problem. It was still very hard because you kind of work, you know, counterintuitively backwards. And it was a horrifying experience. And then the whole thing is ended up, people never ate with us. They said, "Oh, forget you, we're leaving." And we were so remote, we couldn't text him and tell him our plight. There's really nothing more to the story than that, except that I will tell people, please do not ever get in a situation where you have to drive backwards for 8 miles. This has been a public service announcement.
We're going backwards, ignoring the realities, going backwards.
Hey, do you remember Liev Schreiber? You know the actor Liev Schreiber?
Yeah, I always thought he looked weird and had a weird name, but what about him?
Well, it sounds to me like you don't remember that he came on our radio show a million years ago.
Was he flirting with me?
Probably. He was a then pretty unknown actor.
You know what? I take that back. I think he's actually a little hot. And he was in a show recently called The Perfect Couple with Nicole Kidman.
Yes,
That was a good show last year, and I actually found him very attractive. I didn't like him when he was younger. I take that back. Man, I take it back. I love you, Liev.
He was on a show, I think might have been an HBO show, called Ray Donovan.
Yeah,
in that for years and years and years.
He got out.
He wasn't supposed to be out for 5 more years.
My father's coming.
What does he want?
I don't know.
No lie lives forever, Raymond. It's time to pay the piper.
It's my problem, and I'm going to take care of it.
But I was listening to him on a podcast, and he is one of those actors that also thinks it's important not just to be on TV or movies, but he also likes to do stage work. Mm-hmm. And so he's on this very successful play on Broadway. He said, one night, getting ready for the play, like I always did, I walked to the side and I talked to the woman who's my co-star, and I wanted to say break a leg or good luck or something, one of those showbiz axioms that you always say before you do something. And he said, I couldn't think of anything to say. It didn't occur. I couldn't think of break a leg or anything. In the show, the curtain is about to go up, and he realizes, I can't remember any of the lines from this play.
No.
I'm drawing a blank. I don't even know where I'm supposed to go when I first walk out. But he somehow manages to get out there, and he delivers, he makes up a line, and his other actors immediately recognize something's not going on right with this guy. He must be having a stroke or something.
Oh, my God.
And he gets off stage, and I guess the director comes out and says, sorry, everybody, we had a little situation here. I can't remember if they brought in an understudy to cover for him for the rest of the show. So what happened was that it wasn't a stroke, but it was something very rare called transient global amnesia. And apparently this happens to people once in a while. They get amnesia sort of like I'm getting right now, spontaneously. And everything goes out of your head pretty much. And that's what happened to him. The show was called Doubt. And he had to take a couple of weeks off. They had to fill in for him. And then just as quickly as everything went out of his head, it all came back to him. He said the next day, but they still said, yeah, even so, you should probably take a week or two off. Have you ever had anything like that where it might not manifest itself as something as big with a fancy name like transient global amnesia, but have you ever just drawn a blank when at a moment that was kind of important?
Nope. I remember everything.
Never? Never?
I remember everything. I remember everything you said. I remember everything I said.
That's good.
I remember, I don't just draw, like, the common things, like, where's my phone? I very rarely lose things. I'm pretty sharp, but... But
well, you're doing better than me because when you get older, you overanalyze things that you wouldn't have thought about when you were in your 30s. I'm going to go to the garage, get something, and I can't remember why I went there. I'm standing out in the garage.
Oh, yeah, I'll do that.
Now, why am I here?
I do that, but it comes pretty quickly. And that's just about thinking about 8 million other things while you're walking to the garage. And then if you focus back on... Sometimes I'll just walk back to where I was when I realized I had to go to the garage, and then it'll come pretty quickly. But that's kind of scary, though.
Yeah. I'll go out to the garage and I'll say, why am I here? And then I'll forget, and I'll go back in the house and I'll go, oh, that's right. I was going out there to defuse a bomb. But sometimes I'll just have a brain fart and I won't remember that stuff.
Yeah.
Unforgettable. That's what you are. That's why, darling, it's incredible that someone so unforgettable thinks that I am unforgettable too.
Well, hey, guess what?
Okay, time for a joke.
A priest and a nun went golfing one day, and the priest...
I already love it. I mean, come on. Any joke that starts with a priest and a nun is awesome. But the fact that you said that they went golfing one day, wait to see what kind of crap unfolds.
I should stop right now. I mean, you never laughed this hard at the end of a joke.
A great beginning.
All right.
Please continue.
All right. So the priest, did I mention that a priest and a nun went golfing one day? Well, the priest seemed to have an extremely foul mouth.
Oh.
For a priest. So he's the first one to putt, and he misses his putt, and he says, God damn it! I missed! Well, this upset the nun, Lisa. She replied, "If you say that two more times, God is going to send a bolt of lightning down from the sky at you." And the priest then takes his second putt, and he says, "God damn it, I missed again." The nun was very unhappy with the priest this time, and she said, "If you say that again, I know you will get struck by lightning, because God doesn't like his name taken in vain."
Yeah.
Well, at least as you probably figured out, the priest was not a very good golfer, and he missed again.
Oh,
and
no.
Ignoring the nun's threats, the priest said, "God damn it, I missed!" All of a sudden, down came a huge bolt of lightning from the sky. And it hit the nun.
Oh.
The priest blinked in disbelief. And then the clouds moved, and God peeked out, and he yelled, "Damn me, I missed!"
During the North African campaign, a bunch of soldier boys had been on a long hike, and they arrived in a little town called Casino. The next morning, being Sunday, several of the boys went to church. A sergeant commanded the boys in church, and after the chaplain had read the prayer, the text was taken up next. Those of the boys who had a prayer book took them out, but this one boy had only a deck of cards, and so he spread them out. The sergeant saw the cards and said, "Soldier, put away those cards." After the services were over, the soldier was taken prisoner and brought before the provost marshal. The marshal said, "Sergeant, why have you brought this man here?" "For playing cards in church, sir." "And what have you to say for yourself, son?" "Much, sir," replied the soldier. The marshal said, "I hope so, for if not, I shall punish you more than any man was ever punished." The soldier said, "Sir, I have been on the march for about 6 days. I have neither Bible nor prayer book, but I hope to satisfy you, sir, with the purity of my intentions." And with that, the boy started his story. "You see, sir, when I look at the ace, it reminds me that there is but one God. And the deuce reminds me that the Bible is divided into two parts, the Old and the New Testament. When I see the tray, I think of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And when I see the four, I think of the four evangelists who preached the gospel. There was Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And when I see the five, it reminds me of the five wise virgins who trimmed their lamps. There were 10 of them, 5 were wise and were saved, 5 were foolish and were shut out. When I see the 6, it reminds me that in 6 days God made this great heaven and earth. When I see the 7, it reminds me that on the 7th day God rested from his great work. And when I see the 8, I think of the 8 righteous persons God saved when he destroyed this earth. There was Noah, his wife, their sons, and their wives. And when I see the 9, I think of the lepers our Savior cleansed, and 9 out of the 10 didn't even thank him. When I see the 10, I think of the 10 commandments God handed down to Moses on a table of stone. When I see the king, it reminds me there is but one king of heaven, God Almighty. And when I see the Queen, I think of the Blessed Virgin Mary, who is Queen of Heaven, and the Jack of Knaves is the devil. When I count the number of spots on a deck of cards, I find 365, the number of days in a year. There are 52 cards, the number of weeks in a year. There are 4 suits, the number of weeks in a month. There are 12 picture cards, the number of months in a year. There are 13 tricks, the number of weeks in a quarter. So, you see, sir, my pack of cards serves me as a Bible, an almanac, and a prayer book. And friends, the story is true. I know. I was that soldier.
Thanks for listening to Peculiar Podcast.
Hey, goodbyes.
Join Pat and Lisa online at peculiarpodcast.com.
The gift that keeps on giving the whole year.
And on the Peculiar Podcast Facebook fan page.
Sweet.
On Twitter at Peculiar Podcast, at Mr. Pat Cashman, and at Foster Chick.
Join us and live in peace, or pursue your present course and face obliteration.